All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. And I got a bunch of great tweets. Let's just go over them, okay?
Okay.
Sean Ferris says, depressing reminder, someday kids are going to the Donald J. Trump elementary schools all over the country. Okay, I hear you, Sean, but that actually might not happen because do you see a lot of Richard Milhouse Nixon elementary schools across the country? I don't. Mm-hmm. So depends on how he leaves. Let's make sure he's humiliated on his way out. All right, the Mad Lib says, Ted just got bitch slapped with his own hand. Captain Jingle Pants says, I'm amused by that and visual as well, yes. John Blackman says, no, Captain Jingle Pants says, Ted Cruz never sees the bar he hits with his forehead, even if he's the one that lowered the bar. It's true, he's that guy, right? Like the one who's like in Three's Company, like hits his head and shit, okay? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ish Kabibble says, no more Clintons or Bushes or Trumps, no more, okay? Diva Athen disagrees though.
Okay.
Says, I think everyone should join the resistance. We can use all the help we can get. Pretty stupid to try to tell some people not to.
I just don't trust her, right? Not the person who tweeted in.
Diva, we don't trust
her. Right. No. I just don't trust the intentions of Hillary because I don't think she's doing it to be part of the resistance. I think she's doing it for political gain. Right, I think that she still hasn't learned her lesson and might even be toying with the idea or flirting with the idea of running for public office again. I don't know if it's going to be president or something else. I really don't want her to do it because she's never been. Anyway, you guys should check out my Facebook video that will be published later tonight. It's a response to Bill Maher's segment where he bashes Bernie or bust people.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that story, I had to go back and look at all the different ways that Hillary Clinton basically wronged, you know, progressives. Don't run, man. Don't get involved in politics anymore. It's just a really bad idea.
Yeah. Look, Trump, I want to humiliate. I don't want to humiliate Hillary Clinton. Just go back into the woods, okay? Like because if she runs again, she's going to get humiliated. So anyway, but she's not going to. It's all about the money. It's about grabbing the money and staying relevant and stuff. And in fact, Jamie L. Robertson, I think, makes the best point, saying, I'd be fine with her joining the resistance if she actually planned to fight, march, and just show up along with the rest of us. Exactly right, Jamie. If that's what she did, great. Her answer, though, is a super PAC. Thanks. Really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then finally, I have to point out Scott Oz's tweet. Dude, the Into the Woods graphic is freaking amazing. Outstanding work.
Oh, I want to see it.
Yes, man. It's fun. Thank you. I say thank you partly because the graphics idea was mine, but the execution, was it Ali or Carlos? Do we know? We don't know. I'm going to the synapse. Can the synapse?
Ali.
Was Ali?
It was Ali.
All right, nice job, Ali. There it is. You see?
Oh, wow.
Kind of scary, huh?
Yeah, really, it's making me uncomfortable. I've had enough. Thank you.
Okay, all right. What's up?
All right. We start off with one of the more difficult stories that I've had to look into. A fraternity at Penn State is facing criminal charges after a hazing ritual led to the death of a sophomore at the university. Tim Piazza was the student who lost his life during this hazing incident. And now that we have more details that are, you know, coming up during the court proceedings, we kind of get a sense of what this fraternity not only did, but also how they reacted when it was obvious that Piazza was in a lot of danger. Okay. So this all started in February. They get together for something that they refer to as the gauntlet. It was the final part, the final hazing before these pledges would be pledged into the fraternity. Piazza and 13 other pledges expected to participate in a hazing ritual known as the gauntlet. Pledges guzzled vodka, shotgun beer, drank from wine bags, and played multiple rounds of beer pong at a series of alcohol stations where they downed 4 to 5 drinks in 2 minute spans. So obviously that's an unsafe thing to do, but over drinking or binge drinking is something that's common among frats. It's just that in this case, it not only ended badly, they refused to get him any type of medical help when it was obvious that he was unconscious. He had fallen down a flight of stairs, and they still didn't call the authorities or call an ambulance. The situation just got worse after it was obvious that he was in a lot of trouble.
So look, I went to college. I have a lot of friends who were in fraternities. I wasn't in one. Let's leave out why. But so I'm not a big fan of the hazing. That's in essence why. I think it's ridiculous to like that you humiliate someone and you get a big rise out of that. I don't want to be humiliated, and I don't want to humiliate anyone else. I just think it's just dumb, okay? Now, I still love the guys who are my friends who were in frats, and so I'm not trying to hate on you guys. And I know that, look, we've all done our share of binge drinking and done stupid things when we drink, right? But this story is so disturbing because the things that happened were so monstrous, as you're about to see in a second. And the fact that they didn't do anything about it and treated it as normal leads you to believe that that's the type of stuff that happens, at least at this frat, so frequently.
Yes.
That they think, well, this is no big deal. This is par for the course. This is what's supposed to happen. So, now find out the details.
So the details that I'm about to get into are extremely disturbing, and they're based on security footage that the court was able to obtain, that the prosecutors were able to obtain. All right, so he had fallen down a flight of stairs. He was obviously extremely drunk. Later reports indicated that his alcohol level was 5 times more than the legal limit. Okay, 4 young men had dragged his limp form back up the stairs, stripped off his shirt, and placed him on a nearby couch. With his head hanging low and his eyes closed, Piazza appeared unconscious and unmoving, a livid bruise growing on his side.
Let me just pause there for a second. Look, have guys passed out from drinking and they appear unconscious a billion times, right? So they don't bring him to the hospital at that point. Okay, we understand that, right? Although, you know, in normal circumstances for decent people, that's a little concerning, right? To say the least. But he had already fallen down a flight of stairs. Dude, somebody bring him to the hospital just in case, right?
Right.
Okay, now you don't expect that somebody's gonna die necessarily from tripping down the stairs when they're drunk, but then he's got a big bruise on his head. Bring him to the hospital, for Christ's sake, bring him to the hospital.
Right. So,
but we're only at the beginning of this story.
It's only the beginning, so let me give you more. A debate quickly broke out about what to do. And by the way, this is the Beta Theta Pi fraternity. Some members sought to wake Piazza by pouring water over his face. Others sat on his legs to prevent him from rolling over or slapped him, fearing that he might lapse into a coma.
If you fear that he might lapse into a coma, bring him to a freaking hospital.
Another young man can be seen in the background of the video falling down a flight of 3 stairs. So this is all happening, right? They're trying to wake this guy up or prevent him from being or falling into a coma. And simultaneously, there's another person who's falling down the stairs. Luckily, no one else died as a result of this hazing ritual. But it's crazy because they're debating whether or not they should take him to the hospital, and they finally ultimately decided, nah, maybe we can figure out a way to handle this on our own.
Now, I'm just gonna reiterate, sorry, Anna. If you're ever slapping someone in the face in the hopes that they don't fall into a coma, that's when you call 911, okay? Just a pro tip for anybody out there who's handling a person that is incredibly drunk and has a giant bruise on their head from falling down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. If you're worried about a coma, that's what hospitals are for.
Now, keep in mind that the hazing began at 9 p.m. on a February night, okay? 9 p.m. Now, by 1 a.m., he was twitching and throwing up. Concerned that he might suffocate in his own vomit, a few fraternity members flipped him on his stomach and pinned him to the couch with a backpack filled with heavy textbooks to prevent him from rolling over. In fact, they do this so often with other pledges that they have already coined a term for it. They call it backpacking. Okay? Yeah. If you have to do something like that often, there's a problem here, right? Instead of taking them to the doctor or calling an ambulance and ensuring that this person is not gonna die from drinking too much, you decide to strap a heavy backpack on them so they won't be able to roll over.
Like before, if somebody asked me, and people have asked me, hey, my son's thinking of joining a frat or my friend is thinking of joining a frat, what do you think? I was neutral, how do I care? I mean, if that's your kind of thing, then do it, because people who do it love it, right? And they become part of this group and they got their silly handshakes and some of them do the, you know, the all this nonsense stuff. It's not for me, but if it's for you, great, right? Now my advice is gonna be no way. Because you know, whether it's your kid, your brother, or whoever it is, just a friend, like if they get a thing called backpacking, that means that people drink to excess so often there, like you're rolling dice there. Like I'm not sending my son to or anyone I care about to a situation where they might or might not die from alcohol poisoning, let alone falling down the flight of stairs. Like they've got a thing where like, oh, we don't want you to choke on your own vomit because that happens all the time. So we invented a thing called backpacking. Let alone if you don't choke on your own vomit, you might die for alcohol poisoning, let alone the damage that does to you, even if you don't die.
You know, I obviously didn't know him at all. I've never met the guy. And reading these details was just so incredibly disturbing. I can't even imagine what his family is going through right now.
Oh, I know. I thought about his family.
Honestly, it brings me to tears. And it gets worse. It gets worse. Now, before I go further, I don't want to make it seem as though every member of this fraternity that was there was fighting against calling an ambulance. There was one frat brother named Cordell Davis who demanded that they call 911. And since he was a newer member of this fraternity, they immediately shot him down and told him, hey, know your role. We're not going to do that, okay?
So, look, just these guys are supposed to be fraternity of brothers, right? They'll do anything for each other. I had a frat guy in the college that I went to that said, if my brother at the fraternity told me to shoot my mom, I would. Okay, great.
Yeah,
well, that's wonderful. Glad they did that kind of brainwashing on you. So but is he really your brother? If you say, hey, you know what? We might get in trouble, so I'd rather endanger his well-being and maybe even his life than for me to get in a little bit of trouble. Doesn't really seem like your brother, does it? Doesn't seem like much of a fraternity then. And yes, this Cordell Davis kid tried to do the right thing. Another fraternity member slammed him against the wall and prevented him from calling the cops.
Right.
Okay. 18 members of the frat have been charged. 18. So there was one guy who did the right thing and many others who didn't.
Right. So when he fell off the couch, and by the way, he fell several times during this entire episode, a group dragged him back up, slammed him down, and smacked his bruised abdomen hard.
Oh.
At 4 in the morning, he tried to stand from his position curled up on the fraternity house floor, only to fall face first into the hardwood floor. An hour later, he staggered into the lobby, stumbled, and hit his head on an iron railing before collapsing once more. Sometime after 7 a.m., he fell down the basement stairs again. Finally, at 10:48 on the morning of February 3rd, 11 hours after his first fall down the staircase, a fraternity member named Ryan McCann called the ambulance. He died the following morning.
So, in the beginning, after the first fall, somebody records it on Snapchat, haha, funny, right? In the morning, after he's already fallen over and over and over again, this is all on security footage camera, so it's not in dispute. Two frat members just step over his body. One of them just to get water, the other one laughs and decides he's gonna record him, because this is, again, really, really funny. He's gonna remember he's got the big bruise on his head already,
yeah,
let alone all the other things that have happened to him, right? He died from his spleen.
Ruptured spleen.
Now remember, they slammed his abdomen in an effort to help him, right? And internal bleeding. So he could have been saved 1,000 times that night. If you're his family watching that footage, how is that not the most heartbreaking thing you've ever seen in your entire life, man? For God's sake, if you're his so-called brothers, get him some help. Isn't anybody gonna step up and help that kid? If they had done it after the first fall, he almost certainly would have lived. We don't know that for sure. Maybe the spleen was already gone, etc. But remember, he made it all the way till the next morning, right? Mm-hmm. Then they called the ambulance. Fine. But after the first fall, the second fall, the third fall, the fourth fall, somebody get him help.
Yeah. Look, I usually shy away from zero tolerance policies and draconian, you know, efforts to stop things. But when it comes to hazing, I just don't see any benefit. Okay, I see it as a way of humiliating people, dehumanizing people, putting their lives in jeopardy. Okay, if you want to make an argument about, you know, the importance of frats, which I don't know if I even buy into, fine. Okay, I'm not going to say ban fraternities. But at the same time, I don't understand why hazing in this modern era continues to happen.
And
right?
Look, the whole point of hazing is to, and it's a psychological trick, is to break you down and to, so that it robs you of your individualism and you join a community, which ironically a little communist there, but sorry communist, but and then you become part of that community. Now the reason the military does it and fraternities do it is that so you become more bonded. We know that this is, and by the way, religions do it, a lot of different parts do it. Now, do you really want to lose your individualism? You really want to break down, you know, who you are? I don't want any part of that. I don't want anybody I love to be any part of that. I don't want it if the military does it so that you can kill better. I don't want it if religions do it so that you can believe in a sky god. And I certainly don't want it in this context. So, you know what his blood alcohol level was? 0.40. Not 0.04, 0.40. Mm-hmm. That's 5x of the legal allowable limit. Now, I don't want anybody going through this. This is absolutely nuts.
Yeah, and you know, what helps me bond with people is kindness, helping one another out. I mean, I can't imagine someone torturing me or dehumanizing me and then me thinking like, you know what? I feel like I'm bonding with this person or this organization or this group of people. This is so devastating and I feel so bad for his family. And you know, I hope justice is served here, but we need to actually learn lessons from stories like this, not report on them and feel outraged and then there's absolutely no action later. It's not just about this particular fraternity. It's about fraternities in general and how there needs to be policies banning anything even close to this type of hazing.
Yeah, so finally, it's not to say that every single fraternity does this or does this in this kind of extreme, of course not, right? But do a lot of fraternities, do most fraternities do hazing? Yes, they do. So, excuse me guys, I'm sorry, I'm sick. I want to finish the thought in 1 second. Jesus, all right.
Mm-hmm. Not all fraternities.
Yeah. So until frats stop hazing, look, just on a personal level, if anybody asks me, I'm gonna say no. Don't ever let your kids or anyone you love join a frat that does hazing. Because I don't wanna risk a 0.40 blood level. That's enormously dangerous on its own. I don't wanna risk you dying in your own vomit. I don't want my kids to risk any of that. I don't want their personality broken down and join some sort of brotherhood that actually doesn't give a rat's ass about them, okay? And I certainly don't want to take any kind of risk like this. Doesn't mean that this is going to happen in every case. It just means it's a certain level of risk you take in any hazing situation. And my answer to that is hell no.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. So stick around, and when we come back, lots of other stories, including a viral video featuring some Muslim hate in Virginia.
We're back. Let me read some messages for you guys. On YouTube Super Chat, we got Antonio Luna writing in, Jimmy is one sexy beast. All right, agree to disagree?
All right, I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
We're just playing bus nuts with you, Jimmy. All right. Sabrina Hartman writes in on Twitter, hashtag TYT Live. College frat culture is so dangerous, I'm surprised stories like this aren't more common. Michael Ritchie says, if hazing is a prerequisite for your group, I'm not interested in your group.
Yeah, totally agree.
A Derpy Panda says, and these guys are our future leaders and Wall Street elites that will crash our economy. Let me leave it right there because there's plenty of others. That story was heartbreaking. Yeah. So, reminder guys, on tomorrow's show, we have a very important announcement about Just Democrats. On Wednesday's show, surprise announcement that is gigantic. Top of the show, 6 p.m. Eastern, don't miss it. We're gonna rock the world with this announcement. I'm not playing around, okay? And then in today's post game, we're gonna do three awesome stories. I ran into Will Smith. You remember how we had that beef?
Yeah. Did we?
Remember when we talked about Jaden and Willow?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he still hate us? Okay.
Okay.
So it is a very clear answer.
Oh no, he hates us.
Well, we'll find out. Okay.
Man.
And then I got. Okay, just hold on.
Everybody hates us.
Okay, just calm down. Another story about how stupid Donald Trump is, and then I got taken off another American Airlines flight. Unbelievable. I know. So I'll explain that too. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member, get the post game, get the whole 2-hour show ad free as well. All right, what's next, Anna? Okay.
An Ohio teacher has lost her job after another educator at the school acted as a little bit of a whistleblower and outed her after she dragged a student down the hall by her arm. I'm sorry, his arm. So this is Alta Head Start. It is a preschool, and the student that she's dragging is a preschooler, black preschooler to be exact. And so another educator saw this and decided to take a photo of it and share it with the administrators. And of course, local media, WKBN, reported on it. The mother of the child, of course, is outraged. Stevelyn Harshman is planning on suing as a result of this. And it's crazy because this school has a CEO. It's a preschool, so I'm guessing this is the type of thing that you would probably have to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, this is insane. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it other than you can't be dragging students like that across a hallway holding their arms.
Yeah, look, as a parent, of course, it freaks you out. Is this possible wherever you're sending your kids? This happens to be in Ohio at Youngstown City Schools. Second of all, you can't help but wonder
how often it happens.
A, how often it happens. B, and did she devalue him because he was a black kid, and so not that big a deal? We don't know. We don't know what's in her head or heart. In this case, it doesn't really matter because can't be doing that to any kid anyway. So she should be fired and has been fired. So
yeah, it was the appropriate reaction to this photo, and also. I give a lot of credit to the other educator on campus who decided to take that picture and say something about it.
Yeah, and my guess is in a situation like that, that you take a picture like that and complain if you've had previous issues.
Exactly.
Right? Like if everything's great and you guys are all friends and everybody treats the kids decently, and then all of a sudden one person on a bad day does something they really, really shouldn't have done. They probably don't get thrown under a bus.
Right.
Like it probably happens in a situation where like, that's it, I've had enough of this. How many times is she gonna do that, right? And that's probably what happened here. We don't know all the details. So, but it's interesting. They're suing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't blame them. It's just not in my nature. Like don't get me wrong. I mean, if I'm wronged enough, I'm sure I would sue, right? And there's nothing wrong with suing if you're in a situation like this. It just wouldn't have occurred to me. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know, okay. So like, I'd be like, oh, I'm so pissed. Oh, you fired her, good, great.
Look, I don't know what I would do in this situation, but for the mother, do you boo, right? Do what you feel is right. If you feel like you need to take legal action, I understand it. I would be so enraged. That's the only thing I know for sure. And so if the only retaliation that I could get is through the legal system, then I'm gonna go through the legal system, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to get in trouble. You know, like I don't want to retaliate in other ways and then get in trouble. You don't want to do that. So
the old school rolling thing. What is it
the rolling pin?
The rolling pin that your mom chased somebody with.
Yeah, she had a rolling pin in her car at all times. I don't know why. And when she saw another male student slap my butt in third grade or fourth grade, I believe, she got out of the car and she went after him with the rolling pin. Never slap my butt again.
Old rolling pin justice. No, let's keep it legal. Let's keep it legal. That's old school stuff, right? So it is what it is.
Yes. Do you boo?
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
All right, moving on. A Virginia woman has been caught on camera spewing anti-Muslim and anti-Obama hate at a Trader Joe's. So we're going to show you the video in a second, but I want to give proper credit to the individual who posted it on Facebook, which then led to it going viral. It was posted by Jeremy McLellan, and this did happen in Reston, Virginia. The person who filmed it was not Jeremy, but it was a friend of his. She does not want any media attention. She doesn't want to do any interviews, but she does want this to kind of go out there so people can understand like what's happening throughout the country. This all started when she actually let this woman cut in front of her in line because she only had one item. And then the woman apparently saw another Muslim customer wearing a niqab, and she started saying anti-Muslim stuff about that and also female genital mutilation. And so at that point—
So this is another person in line, right? Not the person who was taping.
The person who's taping ended up engaging with her because she overheard her saying negative things about the other Muslim woman who was wearing a niqab.
Yep.
And so that's when things kind of started to get heated, and the Muslim woman in line started filming. And here's what we have. Take a look.
Yeah, video's not working, guys. We've been having a little bit of trouble with the TriCaster lately with these videos. I don't know what's going on. Okay, we're doing a new TriCaster fundraising drive.
Oh, please. Okay.
I'm kidding.
Okay. That would make me harm myself. Okay, so let's move on. So
let's try it one last time.
Okay. Okay, let me just quickly summarize it for you. So the woman, and I'm sure most of you have already seen it because it went viral. Mm-hmm. But the woman just starts talking about how she shouldn't have let, it starts with the Muslim woman in line saying, I shouldn't have let you cut in front of me in line, right? Mm-hmm. Because here's this woman saying negative things about Muslims. And she's like, we shouldn't have let you into the country. And then the Muslim woman's like, excuse me, I'm an American citizen. I was born here, right? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, the unidentified agitator, I guess, turned around and said, Obama's not president anymore. And so she was trying to make a point about like, Obama's not president anymore. Our Muslim president is no longer around. So
she said there's no longer a Muslim in the Oval Office.
There's no longer a Muslim in the Oval Office. Okay. So you got to get a gist of what it was. I got to be honest with you, there was obviously hateful language, but it didn't get out of control to the point where there was a shouting match. Because we've seen so many of those videos where people lose it and they just start hurling insanely racist terminology or xenophobic terminology. In this case, that's not what happened, but it was implied, at least from what we can see in the video.
Yeah. So, first of all, if Trader Joe's aren't safe, what's safe anymore?
I know. And also, it's kind of miraculous how she needed an entire cart for a bag of avocados. Like, I can't get over the fact that that's what she needed a cart for. But anyway, let's move on. Just hold the bag of avocados.
Okay, so
it's already crowded at Trader Joe's. You know what I mean?
Okay, so that was really the most salient point made here. So the reason why this is interesting is because during the Trump era, we now have these bigots that have come out of the closet, and we wish they hadn't. This is one closet you should really stay in, and it's getting really ugly. And they feel empowered, and they feel like they can finally say what they've been thinking all along, right? And so, them saying it is disturbing because then you, that the poor people have to deal with it, etc. Mm-hmm. And look, I think about it like if somebody had said it to someone I love, mm-hmm. I'd get so mad, and I don't know that I could control myself as well as they did, right? So like, now nobody in my family wears a hijab, niqab, anything, right? Mm-hmm. Secular, etc. And I'm agnostic. My dad is agnostic. And the list goes on and on and on in our family, right? But if somebody found out that my aunt or whatever, right, if a cousin is Muslim, and they start yelling at her and say, "Oh, get out of this country," when she's a citizen, so
right.
That is infuriating. But what's actually a little bit more depressing is apparently they've been thinking that for years and years and
right.
years, and all these people who are in the closet, who you never knew, you thought was just a nice, pleasant person in Trader Joe's sitting next to you, turns out hated you all along.
I know, and what's kind of amazing is now people feel super comfortable running their mouths, saying extremely hateful things, and hate has normalized in some way. Certain language has been normalized. And while we have someone like Trump who has led the efforts to normalize that type of speech, it's just really interesting to me to hear about comedians like Stephen Colbert who get criticized because they use some profanity or some uncomfortable language in their shows, right? First of all, he does a comedy show. Second of all, okay, so he used some sexual, imagery in order to make a point. Our president bragged about grabbing women by the genitals without consent. Like the leader of this country is in favor of that kind of language. He's the one who led the efforts, right? And we elected him. So just keep that in mind.
And finally, it's a great point, Anna. Like they're worried about Colbert's dirty joke, but they're not worried about people who want to discriminate against whole groups of Americans.
Right.
And right wing, I got really bad news for you. Do you know what percentage Muslim Americans are? 100% American. They're not any less American than you. A citizen is a citizen. So if you don't like that, that's a super sad day for you. You're in the wrong country. There are countries that like to discriminate based on religion, Saudi Arabia, Iran. You'd feel right at home there. They're also right wingers. Mm-hmm. It's not your particular voodoo, it's a slightly different voodoo, but so you'd be surprised at how much your voodoo agrees, actually. So why don't you take your ass over there? Because you apparently don't believe in the concept of America. So why don't you go to where you belong?
Exactly. All right, should we take another break?
Yes.
Okay.
We have to, don't we?
No?
No, we don't. No, we're gonna go to the end here. Right.
Okay,
right.
Awesome. So let's move on to the next story. 60 Minutes had an excellent piece recently regarding a man by the name of Roberto Beristain. He's a man that we talked about in the show before. He was a person who was in the country with undocumented status. He was not a US citizen. However, he kept checking in with the government. They had given him some sort of temporary social security number, and he was making sure that he was following along with certain regulations so he wouldn't get deported. And then Trump gets elected, and sure enough, ICE deports him. Now, the part of the story that really stood out to people was the fact that everyone around him, including his wife, ended up voting for Trump, the same person who essentially got him deported. So 60 Minutes not only spoke to his wife about that, they also talked to a few of his friends. And I just love their reaction to it and some of their justifications for voting for someone like Donald Trump. Take a look.
I voted for him because he said he was going to get rid of the bad hombres. Roberto is a good hombre.
Yeah, that is, but actually,
Roberto Beristain's wife, Helen, who also works at the restaurant, was born in Greece and became a U.S. citizen 16 years ago. She met Roberto in 1998 at another restaurant in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
He was a busser and I was a server. He started talking to me a lot and I tried to ignore him. He kept on talking
to me,
smiling and smiling and smiling. He always smiles. Very positive person.
They got married, had three kids, and settled into a comfortable suburban life.
I don't think they realize, I'm positive they don't realize it, that it saying he's one of the good ones is one of the most standard stereotypical, bigoted, racist things you could ever say. Oh, no, no, most of the blacks are bad, but hey, you know, Bob over there is one of the good ones. Oh, the Jews, they're terrible, but Steve over there is one of the good ones.
Right.
Right? So, and here we are in 2017. Oh, I mean, I voted for Trump because he was going to get rid of bad hombres, but you know, my friend Roberto, he's one of the good ones.
So this is in Indiana, right? And
even though I just gave him a southern accent.
Right. But anyway, I bring that up because we're not talking about Los Angeles or New York City. You know, we're talking about a place where they are probably dealing with a little more propaganda that's anti-immigrant, especially anti-Mexican immigrant. And so they have bought into this idea that immigrant communities are dangerous, that people who come here, you know, and have undocumented status are dangerous. They're breaking the law. And that's the type of propaganda that people hear in the media over and over and over again. You hear it on Fox News, you hear it all over, you read it on right-wing news outlets. And so people buy into that. And so even if they have an undocumented person in their lives that they love, that they know just came here for opportunity, they for some reason are not able to connect the two. They disconnect or they compartmentalize certain components of their political ideology, right? And I think that it's so fascinating, right? And you don't hear about the studies that go into communities that are predominantly immigrant communities that show that crime is actually lower in those communities. Like you don't see those stories often. You hear the fear mongering, you hear Trump talking about how he's gonna publish, you know, the lists of crimes that happen. And I don't know, it's frustrating because you have to work really, really hard to right those wrongs and reverse that propaganda. They've bought into that propaganda, even though they know someone that is gonna be harmed by someone like Trump.
Yeah, but it's also conservative 101, which is that I don't care unless it affects me. And so I assume it's for those sanctuary cities with all those dangerous immigrants. But Roberto's my friend.
He's a good hombre.
Yeah. Oh my God, it affected Roberto? Oh, okay. And then Kimberly Glowacki of Granger, Indiana says to Anderson Cooper in this piece, it just feels wrong. Oh, it feels wrong when it happens to you, to someone you know.
But screw everyone else.
Yeah, when you thought it was happening to those scary Latinos somewhere else. Well, then it felt great. That's why you voted for Trump. So own it. Yeah, you voted for the guy who, you know, is wholesale discriminating against all of them. And he was never, ever going to distinguish between bad hombres and good hombres. And that wasn't his point. And
yeah, you know what feels wrong to me? A country without Latinos. That feels wrong to me. But nonetheless, I know that those countries exist. And it's not because they're attempting to make it anti-Latino, but I like a country with Latinos. It's just a lot better. But anyway, let's move on to the second video because it gives you a little more of an idea of what goes through their minds. It's fascinating.
On February 6, shortly after President Trump signed his new executive order, Roberto Beristain came here to an immigration office in Indianapolis for his annual check-in. Helen was in the parking lot waiting when an ICE officer came to let her know her husband would not be coming home.
He said, your husband is being detained because he is a fugitive. I said, my husband is a fugitive? My husband is not running from you. You did not come knock on my door to look for my husband. He came to you. Why this year he is a fugitive? What happened?
Roberto was doing everything he was supposed to do, so he was an easy target.
He wasn't hiding. He wasn't living
in the
shadows.
No. Right. And so they grabbed somebody who was following the rules.
Most of you voted for Donald Trump. He said he was going to do this. He's done this. Why are you surprised?
Excellent question.
Yeah.
And Matt Leilert said, but he worked his butt off to get here. Well, what do you think all the other undocumented immigrants did? And the way they make it sound, it makes it sound like Roberto's not undocumented. He was undocumented. That's exactly what Trump promised. That's exactly what you got. All right, guys, we're out of time, but we will be back for one more quick segment. Segment's at 5 o'clock, seems a little abrupt, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Mm-hmm. On next Monday, you'll find out why. Lots of mysteries around here, lots of mysteries.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Will Smith mystery, Danette's Unbreakable writes, I don't hate you, Anna Kasparian, don't let the Fresh Prince get you down.
Aww. I really hope he doesn't hate us.
Okay, well, we're gonna find out. Joy says dragging that child is assault. Children that young can easily be injured, broken bones, dislocation, and sometimes permanently.
That's a great point. I mean,
yeah. And Mike says, is Trader Joe's really the place where you feel like that sort of diatribe would be well received?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you this about Trader Joe's. It is, it has a number one power ranking in my mind for a place I am most likely to get recognized.
Really?
Yes. I literally have not walked in. I think it's literal. I really do. I don't think I've walked into a Trader Joe's in 2 years and not been recognized every single time. I think once it was 5 times in one Trader Joe's.
Oh my God. Wow. That is amazing. I thought you were going to comment on number one power ranking for place to get snacks. Because they nail it with the snacks.
Oh, the dark chocolate peanut butter cup thing.
Those are good.
It's mental.
But then they
have. That's why I mainly go.
Real quick, and this is not an ad. I wish they were a sponsor, but they're not. They have these dark chocolate covered almonds, but the dark chocolate also has sea salt in it.
Correct.
Oh my God.
Second best thing at Trader Joe's.
It's so good. And then
correct.
And then Kirkland, which is the Costco brand, copied them and they make this gigantic bag.
No, too big. No,
oh, not too big. You can you can never be too big. Okay, well, when it comes to those.
I've heard that many times.
Anyway.
Oh, if I had a dime for every time I heard that.
Okay. Let's move on.
Anyways, okay. Trader Joe pretty much Lib Central is my point.
Yeah.
So it is a little surprising. You're good point. All right, what's next?
All right. An Austrian appeals court has ruled that Facebook must delete so-called hate postings, as well as any post that incites violence. Now, the case brought by Austria's Green Party over the insults to its leader has international ramifications, as the court ruled. The postings must be deleted across the platform, not just in Austria. So this is actually a really fascinating ruling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're saying to Facebook, initially the court ruled, okay, Facebook must take these hate postings down. We are not going to allow trolls. We don't want it. But the ruling didn't specify whether or not Facebook would have to take it down for every country or just block it for Austria. And so they go back to court again and the court rules, not good enough if it's just Austria. We want it down, period. It should affect every country.
I don't agree on so many different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, those are your rules in Austria. Those are not our rules in America. So why do we have to listen to your court? Sorry, no. Look, Facebook doesn't want to face the kind of fines that it could face, and let alone Austria. In Germany, the cabinet approved last month fines that could go up to 50 million euros. That's $55 million. If they fail to remove such postings quickly enough. Jesus Christ.
So that's Germany, and now they're thinking about making this an EU-wide policy.
Yeah. So if you're Facebook, I mean, that's a gigantic fine. You don't have a choice. You're probably going to follow that. But as a matter of principle, I don't know why we have to follow European law, Austrian law, etc. I mean, so, okay, first of all, I don't agree with the Austrian law, so I don't need an analogy, but I'll do one on top anyway. Okay, what if Saudi Arabia said, okay, you have offended Islam with whatever the hell you said. Now you must remove that all across the world. Well, what the hell? All right, what if China said, okay, you have offended the Politburo and the communist regime of China. So Facebook, you must remove all postings all across the world that has offended me. Well, there's no end to this. So no, we don't agree. We don't agree.
Yeah.
So, and I don't care if it's Saudi Arabia or China or Austria. We don't agree. So now in this case, the Green Party, I'm sure they're good folks that were offended, right? And it was a hateful comment by a right-wing group. And I'm sure I would, you know, completely and utterly disagree with the posting, right? And I'm sure it's a terrible posting, whatever the hell it was, right? But we've all been, you know, protected from it. So anyway, so what? That's the whole point of freedom of speech, is that you get to have, now look.
That's freedom of speech here, yeah.
Yeah, but. So I know, Austria doesn't have the same laws as we do, right? They literally, they don't have the same First Amendment, obviously. They don't have the same constitution. So they have different rules on speech there. That's why, if you want to make that ruling in Austria, I don't agree, but have at it, Haas. That's your country, not my country. As long as it just stays in Austria.
Right.
But you can't have it go worldwide.
Why does it have, I'm curious why it needs to impact every other country. I think it's because they're worried about I don't know, maybe the perception that other countries might have of its leader, right? Which is, but who cares? Look, on some level, I kind of understand. I also, look, I agree with you. I think that this goes way too far. But on some level, I do understand because, you know, online trolls aren't just online trolls sometimes. Sometimes there are people who spread defamatory stuff about you that's just flat out untrue, that damages your reputation. We have to deal with it on a regular basis, and you have no way of protecting yourself, right? And that could, look, that could have serious ramifications for, you know, job prospects, you know, business relationships, you know, whatever it is. It could really negatively impact your life. And so what do you do in cases like that? So it's a hard question. I think it's a little harder than we're making it out
to be. No, Anna, look, so let me just be clear about this, okay? So if you break other laws, so for example, you threaten someone's life, you threaten someone's well-being. Well, okay, that's your assault or whatever it might be, and every country has a law against that, and you want to take that down, or you give out their address and say, go get the head of the Green Party, this is where they live, you want to take that down globally. Everybody, I think almost everybody agrees to that, right? If it's literally defamation and, oh, okay, the leader of the Green Party was a prostitute and here's where he worked and it's all made up and yada yada, there's a recourse for that, right? But if it's just something that offended you, because it was hateful speech towards you.
Right.
Then I say, no, then okay, you have different laws in Austria, but that we have, then it shouldn't apply to the rest of us, right? So now I think that there's almost no one else in the world that's a better authority on this than I am, in the sense that I don't know that there are 10 people in the world that get more hate comments than we do, Anna, right? And so I guess Obama, right?
And
back in the day.
It's not just hate comments though, it's also defamatory stuff. There's a lot of defamatory stuff out there, right?
Yeah, so if you threaten violence, that has legal ramifications here in the US as well. You can't do that. You can't do the doxing, you can't, etc. But every lie there is has been told about us. Our pictures photoshopped, I mean, every hateful comment, every racist, every bigoted comment, every sexual comment, everything has been said about us. And as long as it's not physical, we're still right here, okay? And the reason they're attacking us is because they perceive us as powerful and strong and affecting people's opinions. And get real, you trolls out there, that's why you're doing it. If you thought somebody was irrelevant, you wouldn't even know them and you wouldn't bother to attack them. Every time they attack us, it's a compliment, saying, you're right, Young Turks, you are super powerful and I have to try to fight you, okay? Agreed, too strong, okay? No, so that's why I'm telling you, I think I have credibility here as a person who's been attacked maybe literally millions of times online, right?
Probably more.
Right?
Yeah.
To say, hey, if you're offended, it's not that big a deal. You don't get to control other people's speech because you were offended. You do if it's, again, defamation against the law, assault, etc. So I couldn't disagree more with this Austrian ruling, and I think they have no jurisdiction here. And I hope that Facebook fights their claim of international jurisdiction on all of us.
Right. All right, one final story for you guys. You want to do one more?
Yes.
Okay. The Anchorage, Alaska Police Department is fighting legislation that would ban any sexual contact that they could have with suspected prostitutes. Now that sounds really bad on its own, but the department deputy chief, Sean Case, tries to make the case that, hey, sometimes sexual touching is really important in a sting operation, right?
Oh no, it's super important if you're a cop.
So let me give you the details on what the argument is here, right?
Basically saying, like, look, if I'm a cop in Alaska, I mean, how do you expect me to do my job without fondling some prostitutes? It's just not fair. It's not right.
It's fair, right?
You give them the details.
So in some very, very limited circumstances, the Anchorage Police Department wants to reserve the right for an undercover officer to have certain forms of sexual contact in the course of an investigation. So Case says the following. No, Case does not say the following. But here's what happens in some of these investigations. Prostitutes have used a technique known as cop checking to immediately identify officers and shut down an investigation. So, you know, the sex worker wants to prove that this person is not a cop, that they're not going to get in trouble. So they'll say, okay, then touch me, right? And Case lays out a hypothetical situation. I'm an undercover in an undercover investigation. They ask one simple question, touch my breast. Okay, I'm out of the car, done, and the case is over. If we make that act of touching a misdemeanor, we have absolutely no way of getting involved in that type of arrest. Absolutely no way of getting involved in that type of arrest seems like a strong statement. I don't know if I believe that. But more importantly, why are you wasting resources going after sex workers? Why? Right?
Yep.
Like, isn't it funny how the only form of prostitution that's legal in this country is political prostitution? Like, that's okay. But when you have two consenting adults exchanging money for sex, that's not okay. Yep. Right?
No, you know what? They should use the politician defense. They didn't pay me for sex. No, the money is speech.
Right.
They were just talking to me. And they were just talking to my breasts, and then they were later talking to the rest of my body.
Yeah.
Because they just gave me money, and money's just speech.
Just speech. Now, in order to understand, you know, the way the laws work in Alaska, you need to know that it's not currently, it's not illegal for a cop to have sex, like full-on sex, with a suspected sex worker, right? The only time it's illegal is if a suspect is already in custody. And so this legislation, which was proposed by Democrats in the state, would have kind of changed or taken care of that loophole. But you know, there was so much pushback that Democrats were like, fuck. Just leave it alone, right? We have other things to focus on. And you know, the cops are saying, we're not having sex with these suspects, okay? Just everybody relax. But there's really no evidence of that. Okay, anyway. Also, keep in mind that this kind of stuff happens in other states as well. In fact, in Hawaii, it was legal for police to have sex with prostitutes as part of an investigation until 2014, after the loophole and the Honolulu Police Department's opposition to closing it became national news. Police dropped their objections to the change. So I guess they might have been a little embarrassed.
Look, how do you know that she's a prostitute until you've orgasmed? Yeah, there's no way of knowing until you culminate. And in Alaska, they say, no, don't worry. The cops use this in, quote, very, very limited circumstances. Only when they're really, really horny. Okay, yeah. That's all.
Yeah, anyway, I want them to focus on other things, not sting operations aimed at sex workers. They say that this is more about finding traffickers. And look, if you look at the arrest records, they're not lying. They haven't arrested very many sex workers anyway, as of late. So
I'm 13 people in Alaska. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm inclined to believe them on that. But I just think that loophole is weird. And I think a lot of authorities, they want shortcuts. They don't want to do the investigations. They want like the back door to encryption with cell phones because they don't want to do like any heavy lifting. You know what I'm saying?
No, because for a second when you said back door, I thought you were going to completely different direction.
No.
Is that also legal in Alaska?
I don't know. It's a strange place.
Yeah. Now look, until we went back door, we didn't know whether she would go back door. There was no other way of finding out.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not talking about anal sex. I'm specifically talking about, you know, loopholes to encryption.
It's loopholes. All right. It's not another code word, right?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. So look, final thing on this is that this is what putting a spotlight on issues does. I know it's kind of a goofy topic, but Michigan until April had the same thing. Cops had immunity for having sex with prostitutes. Isn't that convenient? It used to be in so many other states, and slowly people said, hey, really? Really, cops need immunity to have sex with hookers?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's the case. And every time people put a spotlight on it, people are like, cops are finally like at the end. In the beginning in Alaska, like she said, sex, I mean, we hardly ever do it. Okay. And then they're like, can we at least touch their breasts?
Right. Okay. There was a case a couple years ago where one of the cops went to a massage parlor and got a 40-minute massage and then signaled to his, you know, private region. Uh-huh. And then she like touched his testicles, and that was when he like, you know, did some sort of signal to call the cops in. And
yeah, it's go time. I think you might have been able to deduce that before the 40 minutes. Okay,
right.
But anyway, clean up in aisle five. So, okay, I'm gonna need backup here. Officer now finally down. Okay, I think we've made enough dirty jokes here.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, so in the post game, is Will Smith still angry at us? And I ran into him on my travels. I was asked to get off an American Airlines flight. Why was I on it in the first place? What was the reaction of the flight attendants? Uh-huh. Why and what? How did I ever get back on? And yet another story of how painfully stupid Donald Trump is. So a lot in the post game. That's one of the privileges of membership. So come join us at tytnetwork.com/join. All right, bye-bye.